Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the third quarter ended FY24 earnings conference call of Chalet Hotels Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjay Sethi, MD and CEO, Chalet Hotels Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rayo. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us for the Chalet Hotels earnings call for the quarter ended December 23, and for being a part of Chalet Hotels' journey of growth and innovation. Allow me to provide you with some key highlights of the last quarter. Globally, the hospitality industry is witnessing an uptick in occupancy and rates led by increasing international tourists, which, as per WTO, is 88% of pre-pandemic levels for the year 2023. This was aided by improvement in business travel, stronger group activity, and resumption of large events. This comes against the backdrop of a volatile geopolitical environment. Our India story continues to be of resilient growth, and the country remains as the fastest-growing large market. Corporate demand in the country has also seen consistent improvement, and office space absorption and increase in business travel is expected to grow at a CAGR of 8% over the next 8 years, as per IMARC Group. We also see Tier 2 cities emerging as key hubs for new ecosystems, with a slew of infrastructure projects in the pipeline. Chalet Hotels continues to ride the uptrend, and I'm pleased to report that our Q3 revenue has reached a record rupees 3.8 billion, representing an 18% increase compared to the same period last year. The results are a testament to the strength of asset portfolio of Chalet Hotels, backed by overall resurgence in the hospitality industry in the country. In Q3, our RevPAR, or revenue per available room, grew by 18% year-on-year to rupees 7,838. Average room rates grew to rupees 10,974 and grew at 8% for the portfolio. However, on the same-store basis, the average room rates grew by 11% year-on-year to rupees 11,253. The occupancy for the quarter was at 71%, an expansion of 6 percentage points over Q3 2023. This is despite higher inventory of rooms in the portfolio. This was led by an accelerated improvement in the Mumbai market, further supported by growing demand in Bengaluru and Hyderabad. Our Powai hotels saw several large events and high demand from groups, which led to an 11 percentage point increase in the Mumbai occupancy for our portfolio. F&B revenue also did very well, with 27% growth over last year. During the quarter, the hospitality segment achieved a revenue of 3.4 billion, and our EBITDA for the quarter was rupees 1.6 billion, a robust 29% growth in revenue and a 46% rise in EBITDA when you compare it with the same quarter last year. We continue to be diligent in managing costs and optimizing operating efficiency, contributing to healthy EBITDA margins. Employee costs continue to be stable at 12% of revenue, and utilities as a percentage of revenue improved further, with a drop of 80 basis points to 4.8% of the total revenue for the quarter. Our hospitality EBITDA margin has expanded 5 percentage points over the same period in FY23 to 46.3% now. The consolidated EBITDA for the quarter was rupees 1.7 billion, reflecting a 44% increase over the same period last year on a like-to-like basis. A quick update on some of the projects. Leasing activity has picked up pace in Powai, and we've signed our first tenant for one floor there. Additionally, we expect a closure of two more floors very soon. We are also in advanced discussions with potential tenants for the rest of the spaces in Bengaluru and Powai. our ongoing ongoing renovation and inventory additions at Duke's Retreat and the Marriott Bangalore are as per schedule. As you're aware, the work at the new hotel, the Taj New Delhi Airport, has commenced. Work at Hyatt Regency in Airoli will commence next quarter after receipt of the revised construction approvals. Sales velocity has been very promising for our residential project at Raheja Vivarya at Koramangala, Bengaluru. We have sold 38 units since the last earnings call, and Milind will share some more details in a little bit. On the ESG front, I'm pleased to share that the Westin Hyderabad High-Tech City has recently been certified as USGBC LEED Gold. Ladies and gentlemen, with a strong pipeline for expansion, healthy operating performances, and a team that continues to excel, I remain excited about the foreseeable future of our company. I'm now going to request our CFO, Milind Wadekar, to take you through some of the finer aspects of the financial results. Milind?
Thank you, Sanjay. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We have been consistently delivering strong performances and are well-poised and confident in continuing the same going forward. The last quarter has been one of the best quarter for Chalet, both for revenue and EBITDA. RevPAR had a double-digit growth of 18% to reach ₹7,838. We also continue to work on our core competencies of optimizing efficiency in our existing portfolio. A testament to the same is four of our existing big box business hotels, that is JW Marriott and the Westin Powai in Mumbai, the Westin Mindspace at Hyderabad, and Marriott at Bangalore, have reported their highest ever quarterly revenue in Q3 FY24. These hotels are expected to reach new peaks as we move forward. Total revenue in hospitality segment grew by 29% to ₹3.4 billion for the quarter ended December 23, led by strong occupancies, improving ADR, and aided by strong F&B trends. Reported hospitality EBITDA for the quarter was at ₹1.6 billion with EBITDA growth of 46% year-on-year basis. The margins for the quarter were at 46.3%, which is an expansion of 500 basis points over the last year. Through continued focus on variable cost and on the back of robust revenue growth, our other hotels, including recent additions, are on growth trajectory and are expected to contribute significantly to company's growth. Consolidated revenue for the quarter was at ₹3.8 billion, a growth of 18% year-on-year basis. Consolidated EBITDA was at ₹1.7 billion for Q3 FY24, with a growth of 44% and margin of 45%, an expansion of 5 percentage points over last year's like-to-like performance. PAT for the quarter was at $0.7 billion as against $1 billion in the corresponding quarter, which had one-time exceptional non-cash adjustment to the tune of $0.86 million. Adjusted for this, the PAT grew 3x. The net debt of the company declined by $314 million from March 23. The company spent around $300 billion in CapEx, which was largely met out of internal accruals. Reiterating confidence in our debt, India Rating and Research upgraded our credit rating to A- with positive outlook. This is the second instance of debt upgrade in this financial year. Out of the net debt of $24 billion, around half is allocable to capital work in progress and assets yet to be operationalized, leaving the company at healthy leverage and return ratios on invested capital. The cost of finance as on 31st December 23 was at 8.74%. The company has capex plan of around 8 billion for the next 15 months for the project which are already announced, and this capex will be largely funded through internal accruals. The details of the projects are included in our investor presentation. The company has available lines of credit and undrawn overdraft limits of rupees 6.3 billion. Lastly, a quick update on our residential project at Bangalore. We had received occupancy certificate for 4 residential buildings in Q2 and expect OC for 5 more buildings in next few days. Construction for 2 new residential buildings is in full swing. The project had unsold inventory of 238 flats and measuring 5.7 lakh square feet, adjusting for 83 flats sold earlier. Sales commenced from September 2023 and we sold 42 flats till December 2023 with a total area of 1.1 lakh square feet, which is around 19% of unsold inventory. We see a strong demand for residential flats in Koramangala and expect to close entire sales much earlier than our original estimates. Faster sales will accelerate our cash flows from this project, which is expected to fund significant capex for next financial year. The company has collected 76 crores from this project as on date. The commercial tower of 1.5 lakh square feet will be sold post receipt of OC in FY26. With this, let me open the floor for questions and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Archana Gure from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congrats on a very strong set of numbers. Sir, I have 3 questions. Firstly, since you spoke about Mumbai market, can you also give some insights on the other markets? How the 16% growth in AGR was driven? Was there any particular market behind it, or it was more of broad-based growth in the AGR?
Archana, thank you for the question. Look, we don't give individual city areas because then it becomes sensitive information in our within the comp set that we have. So we're sort of clubbing the ADRs for Mumbai together and the rest of the cities. We've had largely 4% growth in MMR on the average room rates, and all of it almost driven by the JWSR. And then on the Pervais hotel, where we focus on occupancies, given that's a 777-key property, we focus on occupancies and we've been able to drive up occupancies quite sharply over there, resulting in the RevPAR growing at 21% in the Mumbai market. Hyderabad, Bangalore, Pune have all done their bit, but we are not in a position to give you a breakup of each city, because there's just one hotel in each of these cities.
Sure, sir. That's okay. So secondly, on this corporate contract renewals for calendar year 24, so how has been the growth in the rates on YoY basis and overall demand for the number of rooms?
So, from our perspective, we said that we'll target double-digit rate growth from corporate contracts. And thus far, the RFP process, the contracts have been negotiated in the range of 12 to 20%.
Sure. And sir, any guidance on the demand front?
Demand continues to be strong, Archana. I mean, the corporate travel is really doing well, especially the domestic corporate travel in India. Of course, aided by a lot of MNCs within India. And then the MICE segment is just doing brilliantly well. And combined together, we're in a position to continue to grow the rates and at the same time optimize occupancies. I think there's a lot of headroom for growth in occupancies also in most of our hotels.
Sure, that helps. And lastly, one question to Milind sir. Sir, how we should look at this debt repayment for Q4 of this year and the FY 25 and 26?
So annual repayment ranges between 350 to 400 crore. I mean, if there is bullet repayment for any of the loan, we normally get it refinanced. Excluding that, the average is around 350 to 400 crore.
For 25 and 26 together, right? Like each year?
Yeah. Should be in the range of 350 crore.
Okay, that was helpful. So thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karan Sinha from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congrats on Jain team for another record quarter. My first question, just continuing on the previous participant's question as well. If you look at your Mumbai portfolio, so a couple of other listed hotel companies, listed real estate companies have reported performance for their hotels also in Mumbai, and we've seen double-digit ARR growth for their portfolio. But in your case, Mumbai has seen 4% growth, and we've seen corresponding supply addition in Vikhroli and at the airport area. So going forward, how should we think about your earlier guidance on double-digit ARR growth for continuing for next couple of years in light of more supply getting added in these micro markets?
So, Karan, thank you for your question. Number one, the double-digit indication that I'd given was pan-India growth rates. But I think I see no reason why Chalet shouldn't grow at similar rates. I mean, there will be aberrations in markets and cities. As I mentioned earlier, Powai was on a base of very low occupancy last year, and our attempt has been at stabilizing occupancy at Powai. So if we were to sort of stabilize or exclude Powai, the growth within Mumbai market is in the range that we were talking about. And more importantly, as you will see, the 16% growth in the average room rates in the other cities, which is a combination of Hyderabad, Bangalore, and the Novotel in Pune, tell the story to you. And this, despite Novotel adding 88 rooms in its portfolio in this quarter. So the whatever ADR growth that's come out of it is on enhanced inventory, which typically when you open new inventory out, you try to grab market share by lower rates, which hasn't happened in our case.
Sure, this is helpful. Second question, have you narrowed down on any micro market where you could possibly look to add more leisure or commercial supply by an organic route?
So several questions, conversations are on. As I said last time, we have a busy business development team that's looking at opportunities. Chalet's theme for some years has been inventory addition and growth, inorganic growth. We'll continue to go down that path, whether it's in the form of greenfield acquisitions of land parcels or opportunities to acquire ready hotels. But you must also keep in mind we have a fairly large pipeline that is under development now. And if you add all of them together, our vision or my vision of hitting 5,000 rooms in the next few years is going to pan out fairly easily.
Sure. The second question, Sanjay, you've received a board approval for possibly raising funds up to 20 billion. While to early stages at this point, but assuming you get the shareholder approval and go ahead with this, how should one think about deploying this towards paring down debt as well as organic and organic growth?
So, Karan, as you said yourself, early stage, there are certain steps to get to actually starting the capital raise process. All in good time. As we stated in our press release, the intent is to, of course, pay down some debt and, more importantly, look at opportunities that come our way in the next couple of years.
Sure. And lastly, Milind, if you could reiterate the leasing timelines for your commercial assets and what kind of revenues are you expecting over the next 2 to 3 years?
If we have three commercial buildings which are almost ready, and Bangalore tenant has moved in. So Bangalore, we expect entire building of 6.5 lakh square feet be leased out by this end of financial year. The mall converted to commercial office may take 3 more months. And leasing for Powai building has started. We expect around 4.5 to 5 lakhs to be signed by this year end and balance in the next financial year. In Q4 of next financial year, I mean, everything will be leased out and we start earning rentals from the same.
Sure, this is helpful. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we'd like to request participants to please limit your questions to 2 per participant so that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference. We take the next question from the line of Vikas Ahuja from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning to the management and congratulations on strong quarter and execution. My first question is again on the, you know, the ADR growth we have seen this time. If I look at the first half, we did almost 29% and growth in ADR. And now I understand, you know, the base is also catching up and on apples to apple, we grew like 11% ADR. Just want to, you know, understand, because in the opening remarks, you also talked about 12 to 20% increase in corporate hike. And with this overall momentum, which is going, is it reasonable to assume, you know, this kind of a growth, looking at maybe 12 months from here, maybe somewhere at the start of double digit?
Vikas, thank you for the question again. Yeah, look, the segment that we spoke about, which is the 12 to 20% RFP segment that we were looking at, is only part of the business. There are several other segments that come into play. For example, the contract or the airline crew segment, which typically comes at a lower rate. Though the rates have grown, they've grown by somewhere between 65 to 80% from where they were pre-pandemic, actually. And in larger hotels, we'd like to get a base occupancy of these contracts, which support the overall RevPAR for the portfolio. And then we've got big city hotels that need to be supported by MICE. We've got convention centers and banquet halls. And then we have valley periods every week during the weekend and the holiday seasons, whether it's Diwali, Christmas, Easter, all of them come into play. And when you blend all that together and you look at the segments that we use as a mix to optimize the RevPAR for the hotel, you may not see on the base that was there already last year in Q3, Q4, rate increases of what you've seen in the previous quarters. But all of these blended together, we're still targeting to get to RevPARs, which are very interesting. We reported 18% growth on RevPAR with additional room inventory this year. 88 rooms over here in Novotel, 168 new hotel in Hyderabad, and we had the Duke's Retreat that got added to the inventory. So despite all of those additions, an 18% RevPAR growth is a healthy growth, coming on a base of Q3 last year, which was a very good quarter.
This is helpful. And my last question is, you know, if Mumbai ADR was around 4%, right? So if I understood this correctly, this is one because there was a Novotel room addition, and secondly, the Powai Westin mix was higher because occupancy there was higher. So if I look at Sahar and Powai Westin on standalone basis, the ADR was still in double digits. And finally, is there any one-off in the margins or it was all organic?
So one correction there, Novotel is actually in Pune, so not in the Mumbai metropolitan region. And as I explained earlier, it is the Powai Hotel, which is the Westin and Marriott Executive Apartment, which has an inventory of 777 rooms, where we had occupancy was very low last year. It was in the 50s. We were tempted at going the occupancy route in that hotel in the last quarter to get it to normalize occupancies. And therefore, the focus was on filling up the hotel. In terms of margins, I think all hotels have done extremely well. and contributed very well to the portfolio. JW Sahar, I think, is the rock star hotel within that. But overall, all hotels have contributed positively.
Okay, so there was no one-off in margins. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jinesh Joshi from Prabhudas Lilladher. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I have a question on our foreign guest mix. So if I look at the nine-month number that we have reported, I think we are at 34%, and this is despite the fact that we had G20, World Cup, etc. So what exactly is the issue? Because if I compare this number with the earlier year, we were at 35, and I think the pre-COVID base was at about 50% plus. So any specific reason why we are still short of the earlier years despite these events? And one follow-up again is, in the opening comments, Milind sir mentioned that we have had two upgrades in our debt rating. But if I look at our interest rate from the last financial year to this year, I think it has come down only from 8.75 to 8.74. So also if you can highlight the reason behind that.
Sure, Jinesh. Milind will come in immediately after I give you my answer on the mix of nationality. In my opening statement, I did mention that the foreign business travel globally hasn't come up to pre-pandemic levels yet. And one way to look at it is that this is potentially the upside going forward, right, as that stabilizes. You've got to remember that there are two conflicts going on globally, which hinder flight paths for long-haul flights. The Ukraine-Russia situation has created a longer flight path into India from east and west coasts of the U.S. And then the Middle East situation is not helping that. We did expect that this at some point in time this will sort out and there will be stabilization of foreign segment within our hotels. It has grown. As a percentage, it may not show us it's grown too much, but in absolute numbers, it has grown by, I think, about 7,000 room nights on a base of 62,000 room nights last year. So it is a 10-11% growth still. The other thing is, the domestic demand in India is just so strong. It seems to be coming at a price point. There's really no reason to prefer one over the other. We'll take business from wherever it comes. At price points that work for us.
So, Jinesh, on these interest rates, one of our lending banks has increased PLR for last few months, and we expect that to stabilize as we move forward. And what is going to happen in next two or three quarters is we may get further upgrade from rating agencies, and part of our loans will get converted into LRD, so which will bring down our cost. So this is temporary phenomena, which we expect to get stabilized in next quarter or so.
Sure, sir. One last question from my side. So if I look at our leased area, I think that has increased from about 0.5 million square feet in FY23. To about 0.8 million square feet as of the last quarter. But if I look at our quarterly revenue run rate over the last 3 to 4 quarters, it has more or less remained stable in the band of about 28 to 30 crores despite increase in the leased area. So if you can just explain the reason behind that. And also in your opening remarks, you mentioned that for Powai, where the leasing has already begun, we have signed one tenant and closure for two more floors is expected very soon. Explicitly for Powai, in the next quarter, how much additional area are we planning to lease out?
Jinesh, I mean, if you look at quarter-on-quarter movements in our lease income, which was in the range of 20 crore in first three quarters of last financial year, it is averaging to 26, and last quarter two it was 29 crore. So what we do, I mean, whenever we sign lease agreements and tenants move in for fit outs, we start recognizing revenue, we straight line the revenue and start recognizing in books. This is a requirement as per accounting standards. And to answer your question on Powai, so last quarter of the current financial year, next financial year, everything, the revenue will start kicking in the books. So we expect from Q3, there will be some revenue, and Q4 it will, it will pick up from, it will start, we'll start accounting it from quarter one, and it will peak in the quarter four.
Actually, I was looking out for the exact amount of area, because I think in the presentation we have mentioned that out of 0.9 million square feet, we have leased out 0.04, and Sanjay sir mentioned that first tenant has been roped in and two more floors are closed out. So I was trying to get a sense that this 30 crore run rate which we saw in 3Q, can we see a big jump in 4Q? So that was the thought behind asking the question surrounding lease area, especially for 4Q.
So you will see major jump in Q1 FY25. There will be increase in last quarter, but major jump we'll see in quarter one, FY25, and it will go up every quarter after that. There will be significant increase on quarter on quarter basis.
Dinesh, basically we don't give forward-looking numbers, and that's the reason Nivellin said he didn't give the exact numbers. But as he said, we expect a sharp pickup in Q1, whilst there will be some pickup in this quarter also.
Sure, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Sumant Kumar.
Yeah, hi. So this quarter we have seen a 27% growth in F&B. So might be a key reason of Powai Hotel. We have opened the room. And so can you talk about any other reason for the higher growth of 27% in this quarter?
So Sumant, typically Q3, which is the October to December period, is a high demand period for weddings and MICE events. So this is a play out of that. Personally, I felt we underperformed in Q3 of the previous year. And now this is sort of normalization of the numbers that we see. We are seeing a tremendous demand on large banquet events, weddings, social events, in the last year and a half or so. The supply side, besides the Geo Center that opened out or the Convention Center that opened up, there's not much that's come up and unlikely to come also. And after the Geo World Center, there are just two or three hotels which have the banquet halls that are there in our portfolio. So the natural flow then is to us. That along with the very good quality hotels, given that we now renovated the Powai Hotel and rebranded it to Westin, the response has been very, very positive. The banquet halls come out very well. We've got large pre-functions over there. We've got multiple rooms to work with. All of that aids large MICE and wedding business. And then, of course, the room inventory is high. So that allows large conferences to come and use us for the business. But it's largely demand on weddings and MICE.
And when we talk about 12 to 15% corporate rate hike, So can we see a double-digit ERA growth in midterm or maybe the next year for retail segment?
I have always stayed away from speculative numbers on this. The retail segment will play the revenue management route depending on how the demand is looking like 30 days out, 60 days out, 90 days out. They will decide their retail rates at the hotel levels. But clearly, the supply side being weak on the inventory, every hotel will take advantage of the current situation.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to participants to please limit your questions to two per participant. For follow-up questions, you may rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Rishikesh Bhagat from Kotak Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. If you can break up the debt number between what is backed by commercial and what is on the hotel side, that would be helpful. That's my first question.
Rishikesh, so our net debt position as on March 2024 is 2,400 crores. So out of that, around.
December.
Sorry, as of December. My bad. As of December, it's 2,400 crores. As on date, I mean, not more than 500 crore we have taken by LRD route. But 50% of debt, which is around 1,200 crores, is used for assets which are under construction or not yet operationalized. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah. So when I look at this, so the backdrop of this question is largely the fundraise that you have proposed that you have put. Now, when I look at it based on our past commentary, clearly, we used to say that the LRD route will bring some cost of debt lower. And incrementally, clearly, the potential, if I look at it, once the Taj Delhi starts and coupled with this, probably the real estate portfolio maturity, the surplus that we could accrue whenever it happens. I'm just saying that incrementally, and in your commentary also, you said that internal accrual should take care of our growth CapEx here on. So just thought that how should we look at this then fundraise proposal of somewhere around 2,000 crore? So is it that probably we are looking at fairly larger CapEx beyond 27 or 28? That's how we should look at it because I believe the cash surplus will be significantly better. Cash flow will be reasonably better, at least based on the current growth plans.
So Rishikesh, the idea is not necessarily to activate and sit on new capital without it being productive. We would like to keep the gunpowder dry for inorganic growth opportunities. And that's one of the reasons for this fundraise. And remember, it is an approval up to 2,000 crores. We'll clearly be prudent about how much we finally end up raising and how the deployment will be. We don't think it is productive use of capital to come to a zero debt situation, especially not equity returns. And therefore, we will only use or draw down this capital or take advantage of the capital that we can potentially draw down, provided there are good growth opportunities available in the market. I'm not talking about just standalone hotels. We could also be looking at platform deals at some point of time.
Okay. So just one feedback. I still believe that it's simply considering the comfortable cash flow situation we will be likely post 2026. I still believe replacing the cheaper cost of debt with higher cost of equities is not something or a good financial decision.
I completely agree with you. And all of us in the table over here and across this speaker, this Polycom, are aligned with that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Prashant Biyani from Elara Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, what would be the airline crew segment mix for this year? How much was it last year, and how much it could be for next year?
Okay. I'll have to dig out this number. Just give me a second.
In the meantime, I can.
No, I've got the number in front of me. So I'm giving you a contract segment. There may be some non-crew, very small amount that could be in that. Our room nights, if you look at the data sheet, or you will not have this data sheet, our contract room nights in Q3 FY23 was 10,600 odd room nights. It is now 15,500 odd room nights. And while there may be small deviation on that on other contracts, the majority of this is going to be airline crew. So overall, 5,000 room night growth on a base of roughly 10,000. So that's a 50% growth on room nights from airlines.
And for next year, sir, how much would we be looking at?
I think we more or less optimized the rooms that we have let out to crew now. Now we don't want to continuously add to that part. A large part of all growth will now come out of our other segments.
And secondly, sir, what would be your plans for increasing presence in leisure tourism, especially religious circuits that have been developed and are also developing? If you can throw some light on that.
So, Prashant, you know, we look at all opportunities with the lens of returns on investment. And, you know, we do not want to dilute the returns that we are able to deliver right now. So any opportunity that comes, whether it comes in the on beach resorts, hillside, hill resorts, or leisure resorts, needs to be able to match up to the expected returns or the what we're delivering right now for us to look at it seriously. There is some amount of aggressiveness in the recent weeks in terms of announcing assets or growth in Ayodhya. We've got to remember religious tourism is not necessarily the highest paying tourism. Ancillary revenues have their own restrictions. I'm talking about F&B here and leisure activities, spa, etc. So we'd like to really study opportunities in any of these destinations very carefully before we step into them. We've been doing well with what our strategy has been thus far, and we are not more likely to tweak it unless it's very compelling opportunities on the other side.
So beyond religious tourism, I mean, in the larger leisure tourism market, you would have interest in Goa and Jaipur market, which are, almost 365 day tourism market now.
Sure. So I agree with you. In fact, it's a stated strategy to look at leisure. For example, Goa and Jaipur, we've already spoken about in the last few calls. We've also continuously spoken about drivable distance destinations from Mumbai and Delhi. In fact, the acquisition of Dukes was in line with that. We continue to pursue opportunities in Goa and Jaipur, drivable distance from Delhi. All of this is various conversations at our BD desk in terms of growth. But as I said, they'll all need to meet our return criteria before we start spending money on them.
So just lastly, the hindrance right now is meeting the return criteria or appropriate availability of assets?
I think it's a mix of both. I think Goa has been an elusive market for a while now on account of two things. Number one, it is an expensive market to enter, barriers to entry are high. And then there is also the barrier of getting getting clean titles sort of situation with the land passes that we looked at. We are by nature a little cautious on all that stuff. And therefore, it's taken us a little longer time, but we will get there very soon.
Sure, that's it, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Meet Jain from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. I have just one bookkeeping question. Like in our presentation, we have mentioned the Westin Powai rooms to be 604. And are there addition of four rooms in that?
Yes, Meet. When we were renovating, we reduced the suite count a little bit. And therefore, four new rooms have been added to the inventory there.
So this has been done in this quarter?
Yes, they're operational now.
Okay, and just clarification on the Dukes, how many total rooms are we going to operate there? Like currently we are running 80 rooms, so it is 150 rooms target we are.
So it's an 80 room property when we acquired it. More than half the inventory is out of action as we speak for the last 3 or 4 months for renovation and expansion. We will end up somewhere between 140 and 150 rooms at the end of it. After we've completed the renovation expansion by quarter three of the next financial year.
Okay. And this Bangalore Marriott Whitefield expansion of 130 rooms. So the expansion is in progress. And are we going to add in the existing room of 391 or it's a separate hotel?
No, it will be added to the existing inventory. So the advantage of that is that the fixed costs are already covered.
Okay.
These 130 odd rooms are going to come with higher margins.
Okay, okay. Yeah. Thanks for the answer, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Nihal Mahesh Jham from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much and good morning to the management. So two questions from my side. You didn't mention the share of airline crew, which I think was around 6% for this quarter based on the room nights. Just on the contracted corporate rates, what would be the approximate share and how that has moved versus pre-COVID, if possible to give that ballpark sense?
Okay. Nihal, the contracted percentage of total room nights is actually 9%. Of total room nights that we sold in quarter three. Transient, which is a mix of RFP or GDS and locally negotiated rate contracts, and retail is 73%. At this point of time, I don't have handy the breakup of the 73% yet, but I can share with you another data point, that is that 11% of our room nights came out of e-channels, that is the OTAs. 24% came out of Global Distribution System, or GDS as it's popularly known. 13% came out of Marriott.com, which is a brand website. And 53% came out of the channel of property, voice, and others, which is basically closed at the property levels. So this is a rough breakup on the channels. Nationality is 61% Indian, 39% foreigners, and I've already shared the segment breakup, which is transient 73%, groups 18%, and contracts 9% of room nights.
Got it. So the rates that are already pre-decided and negotiated, that is 9 plus 6, which is 15% for this quarter. That is right, as an understanding?
No, no. So the rates that are decided will be in the transient as a sub-segment of the transient, which is 73% right now.
No, I was coming from the fact that I was counting corporate negotiated and the airline crew.
Airline crew is 9%, you're right. But the corporate negotiated rates fall within the subset of 73% of transient segment.
Right, and possible to give a sense of what that number is like, if you have it handy.
I don't have it handy. Ruchi, someone will be happy to share those numbers with you at some point in time.
I'll take that separately. Just one more clarification was that when you were giving a sense of the ADR of 4% for Mumbai, for the JW Marriott Sahar, did you mention that the ADR increase was in sync with the other cities, or the 4% increase was attributed to JW?
The Westin Powai was more or less flattish, so all the growth came out of JW Sahar.
So the 4% is more or less the reflection of the JW Sahar's performance.
Yeah, and 4 points, but 4 points was also small. It's a small inventory, so it doesn't impact the blended average too much.
Understood. Sure. Thank you so much. I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Dhruv Agarwal from Niveshaay Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations for the good set of numbers, sir. So, wanted to ask, what would be the RevPAR like till 27? What kind of growth we can expect, sir, in the RevPAR, sir?
So, Dhruv, we really don't give forward-looking numbers. The RevPAR growth for the quarter was 18%. And this despite additional room inventory in the portfolio.
Sir, can you give some guidelines, sir, if possible, sir?
So we don't give forward-looking guidance, unfortunately, Dhruv.
Right. Okay. And so, in 2022-23, the ROCE was around 9%. So what ROCE we can expect in 24-25, sir?
See, again, you're asking for forward-looking numbers on that. Melin, do you have any?
Our ROCE for hospitality as well as commercial is around 14-15%.
Okay, one can expect 14-15% ROCE in coming years, right, sir?
So let me share this with you. So all projects going forward, we try to hit ROCEs, which are in third year of 12-15%. But historical assets, the ROCEs are clearly higher, and they are in the high teens. So that's the reference number that you can work with.
Okay. And
commercial is at 20.
Commercial is 20%.
20s, yeah. Low 20s, yeah.
And like for hotels, it would be?
High teens.
High teens.
Sorry, sir?
High teens for historical assets.
Okay, okay. Right. And then like one last question. So like this Supreme Court case on this Hayat residency at Aroli, Mumbai, can you give some, like, throw some light on that, sir? Like what we can expect in the coming years, like what is your point of view on that?
Are you referring to the 4 points Sheraton by Vashi and Vashi?
No, sir. At Aroli, Mumbai, like the Hayat residency.
We don't have a Hayat residency in our portfolio.
Like, we are planning to have 280 rooms in 2027, right, sir?
Sorry?
So there is no litigation on that land parcel.
Which one are you talking
about? You are talking about Aroli, right?
Yeah. Aroli is the right.
There is no litigation on that.
Okay.
That's a site that we'll start work on shortly. There is no litigation or legal issues with that.
Okay. Right, Pachi. Okay. Thank you so much, sir. We'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from Rajiv V, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
Good morning, sir. So on your slide 8, the other segment, which is occupancy, can you give a like-to-like occupancy for the quarter against the 64% number which you have reported?
We've got, just a moment, I'm just opening that page. Slide 8 is... I think probably
slide 7.
So you're referring to the occupancy of the portfolio, is it?
Q3 FY24 others piece, which is 64%.
This is Bangalore. Yes, because in quarter three, material things happened in the other areas. One, Pune, we added 88 rooms sometime in October. And which will obviously have a natural time period for filling up the additional inventory. They were added, I think, in the first or second week of October, if I recall correctly. And then we had Duke's Retreat, which we shut down more than half the inventory for renovation. So about Duke's Retreat, which was originally 80 rooms, is currently operating at 38 operational rooms. So and then we had... High Tech City Hotel also that got added. So these are the reasons why the occupancy may look a little lower on the other side. But if you were looking at Hyderabad and Bangalore, we have, let me put it like this, satisfactory occupancies.
So my point, and just to clarify, this revenue mix with the pie chart which you share below, that includes the F&B part, right? Or this is only for room revenue?
This is all revenue, total revenue.
And this F&B bit which is increased by 27% on a YOY basis, this is this driven by any specific market or this is, you know, across board?
I think Mumbai has contributed to the maximum because of the high MICE and wedding business that comes out of here. And the segment that's contributed is MICE and weddings.
Sure. So, I mean, if I reverse work from this pie chart, assuming that, you know, F&B, you know, ratio on a YOY basis across in the other segment has remained same, looks like your entire growth on the 18% number, or, you know, if you adjust it for like maybe 22% kind of number, was largely driven by occupancy in Bangalore, which was 50% in the base quarter. And now, let's say, there is another room for 15% more growth there. But beyond that, then ARRs, you know, going beyond 10,000, that market has, you know, has been little resistant. Any thoughts on that? Let's say.
Not really. Whilst I'm not able to share the numbers, I think we have maybe broken the 10,000 barrier quite comfortably in Hyderabad and Bangalore.
And we have let's say. Hyderabad is, the current growth is driven by ARRs as well, in the sense there is ARR growth in Hyderabad. Can you say that?
Absolutely. Significant growth.
Okay. Great.
See, in the others, when you look at the other segment, you've got to remember Bangalore and Hyderabad occupy most of the other segment, right?
Yeah.
And the ADR growth, you see in the other cities, is 16%.
Yeah. So the point is, if you use this pie chart and use it, the RevPAR looks like to be a 17% growth, And if we, you know, give the entire this RevPAR to occupancy alone, then occupancy, you know, touches close to 78% for Hyderabad also, which is slightly high. But then,
you're assuming that Hyderabad rates are not growing the way they should, right?
Yeah.
What stops us from growing Hyderabad a little more aggressively in on the rate front?
Sure. I hear you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Thank you. The next question is from Pranay Shah from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question to the management is, so in the absence of meaningful recovery in the FTA front, as compared to pre-COVID levels, how confident are you to see a double-digit growth in the room rates for the next couple of years? And what, according to you, will trigger the faster recovery in FTA growth? And which would also think of contributing the room rate growth in addition to double digits, which you have been talking about?
So let me answer what will trigger the FTA growth. I think what will trigger FTA growth is some amount of normalcy on the conflict in the Ukraine-Russia. And therefore, the airlines, international airlines, especially American airlines, starting direct flights to India. Right now, besides Air India, we don't have direct connectivity of Mumbai, Bangalore, or Hyderabad from east and west coast of the US. And we must remember that two-thirds of the FTA arrivals, in our portfolio at least, used to come from US. So therefore, that market is critical to us. Having said that, we are not so concerned because the domestic demand has just been so strong, buoyant, both on room nights demand as well as on the rate front, that we've really not missed it too much. When that comes, it will be the it's going to be the cream on the cake.
Okay. My second question was on Novotel Pune front. So with the launch of 82 rooms, with the addition of 82 rooms, what sort of ARR are you looking at inventory? Because I believe these are more premium rooms, and what occupancy is expected once you ramp up this inventory?
So, Pranay, they are very cool-looking rooms. So the room size is the same as the other previous ones, but they're brand new, so clearly there's a sheen to them. We are trying to sort of charge a premium for that. We've seen roughly, I think, double-digit rate growth there. It's quite the norm. Pune market has unfortunately not been a very strong rate-driven market and tends to typically pull down our portfolio, a blended ARR of the portfolio. But we've seen growth. And the 88 rooms that have been opened, they have been received very well. They're really nice rooms. You must, if you go down to Pune, take a look at these rooms.
Okay, sure. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from Saurabh Jain from HDFC Life Insurance Company Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So two questions from my side. First is on the real estate project in Bangalore. So can you give numbers that how much sale has been done till date in terms of amount terms, and what has the CapEx been done till date in this project?
Sorry, could you repeat that, please? I think we missed the early part of it. Which project are you referring to?
So I'm talking about the real estate project in Bangalore.
The resi one? So, or the residential one or the office one?
Residential one, the Vivaria one. Yeah.
So
I wanted to know that what is the sales done till date and what is the CapEx held in date for that project?
Okay. We have spent around 430 crore rupees on that project till date. This is including the old pre-litigation cost incurred on that project. And sale as on date is in the range of 200 crore. We have collected 76 crores out of that.
Okay. Yes, cash collection is 76 crore, you are saying?
Yeah.
And what is the expected total sales from this project once the whole 1 million square foot is sold?
So all put together, including commercial,
yeah,
should be north of 12-1250 crores.
Okay. And this a clarification on the capex of 430 crores that has been consumed. How much is the promoter money in this through the preferential shares and the interest?
We spent around 65 crore rupees on incurs fees on this project, Koramangala Tillet, in the current year.
I'm asking till date. You said 430 crores, including the dedication cost and all.
Okay. So promoters have funded as on date around 290 crore rupees. But this funding was used to pay for cancellations and all. I mean, a few flats were cancelled in last 4-5 years.
Okay. My second question is on the F&B expense.
Can I just come in here? Roughly around 8.5 lakh square feet to 1 million square foot is the project here.
8.5 lakh is
residential, and 1 point this thing is. And out of that, how much was sold million before that?
So we had sold around 2.8 lakhs.
We had 700,000 to sell.
So 5.7 on resi side and 1.5 on commercial.
And the going rate, just as this thing in the market there, is north of 16,500-17,000. This project is a premium project, and we expect to get premium rates for the project. And so far, it is trending and tracking in that line.
Got it. So this 1250, the total sales can be, that is upside risk to that also.
Okay. Yes, that's right. I mean, you got to minus the old sales, of course.
Yeah.
Of the 80
sales. Yeah. And my second question is on the F&B expenses. If we see as a percentage of F&B income, that is significantly down this quarter at about 25. Generally, we saw the trend in the range of about 29-30 weak quarters, and then about 27-28 in the strong quarters. So just wanted to understand this reduction in the F&B expense as a percentage of income.
Sure. Two, three things actually. One is coming off a higher revenue base, so therefore the percentage does improve with scale. Second, we've had, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of growth on the banquet side. And banquets typically comes with higher margins. And thirdly, in general, the average check per person has improved in our terms.
Okay. So this trend, given Q4 is also a strong quarter, we can expect similar kind of margins in the F&B business.
Yeah, again, I don't want to give any guidance, but yeah, I mean, there's no reason why we shouldn't be seeing similar margins.
Got it. Okay. That's it for my side. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll take that as the last question. Any pending questions can be sent to the management directly. I would now like to hand the conference back to Mr. Sanjay Sethi for closing comments.
Yep. Thank you very much. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your time. We, as I said earlier, we're extremely pleased with the trend that Chalet Hotels' portfolio is showing. It is...
Participants, thank you for patiently holding a line. We seem to have lost the line for the management, so we shall close the call. On behalf of Chalet Hotels, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.